From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. There are noon rallies planned in some major California cities today, including Sacramento. Renters' revolts, they're being called. It's a push for a ballot measure called the Affordable Housing Act. Cap Radio's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler is stepping in with some California political news today, while Ken Rudin, the political junkie, has the day off. But I can call you a political junkie.
A political junkie. Probably want to leave the word political in there.
Right. Glad to have you here. So let's talk about today's protest in connection to the November ballot.
Sure. Well, this is signature gathering season, as Cap Radio's Ben Bradford has reported. And this is the time of year where backers of November ballot initiatives are out in the field and they're paying top dollar, or in many cases, top $6 per signature to gather voter signatures to qualify measures for the November ballot. And it looks like backers of a particularly prominent one are going to turn in their signatures today. This is going to be the repeal Costa-Hawkins initiative, which has to do with rent control. So obviously, huge issue right now, right? How expensive it is to find housing in California. And progressives point to this law called Costa-Hawkins, Costa being Jim Costa, who's now a member of Congress representing the Fresno area, as the law that basically ended rent control in California for properties built after that law's effective date. And this initiative would eliminate that law and would allow local governments to pass rent control ordinances if they so choose.
It's part of a bigger push that we're seeing from many different directions to deal with the housing crisis.
Some measures
are being shot down, as we saw with Senate Bill 827 pretty quickly. Others are getting farther along, like the package of bills passed in the last session.
Yeah. And so you see different efforts coming from different sides of the political spectrum. It's interesting to note that for the repeal of Costa-Hawkins, the only Democratic gubernatorial candidate who supports the repeal of the rent control law is Delaine Easton. Gavin Newsom, who's taken many other progressive positions, including, for example, single payer health care and backing SB 562. He opposes the repeal of Costa-Hawkins. He does say there are a lot of things that need to be done, but this particular one would go too far.
So let's focus on the governor's race. There will be two names on the ballot in November, but they have to get past the June 5th primary. And vote by mails start in two weeks from today.
Yeah. So this is, I would hazard a guess that most, shall we say, normal people have not been paying close attention to the California governor's race. It's time to start paying attention. And if you typically vote in November but not in June, you really might want to consider voting in June this time for this simple reason. Because of the system, the top two finishers, regardless of political party, advance to the November election. And so right now, it's generally seen as likely that Gavin Newsom will be one of those candidates. The lieutenant governor, who has been consistently leading in all of the polls, has a lot of money raised. But the question is, one, whether he'll maintain his lead, but two, assuming that he does, will he face a Republican candidate in November or a Democratic candidate? The two Republicans are San Diego businessman John Cox and Orange County Assemblyman Travis Allen. Cox has some money of his own that he's put into the race. Allen does not, but neither of them are seen as top-tier challengers, at least in this particular state, in this particular year, a blue state in a year where Democrats are fired up because of President Trump and Republicans are, at least we've seen in other states, not turning out as much as they might otherwise. And so if it's Gavin Newsom and a Republican, then it's quite possible that the winner of the governor's race will essentially be decided in June. If it's Gavin Newsom and a Democrat, perhaps former Los Angeles mayor and assembly speaker Antonio Villaraigosa, or state treasurer John Chung, or, as I mentioned earlier, former state superintendent of public instruction Delaine Easton, then we actually have a shot at a more competitive November primary general election. But that's going to be all determined by what happens in June.
I have to be an equal opportunity host. So if I was talking to Ken Rudin, I would say to him, the PS to that is, besides that reason to vote, which is deciding who will go on to November, how about voting just because you have the right to vote?
I think that's a totally legitimate reason.
How about just because there's no more important time in our country to vote than now? And that's a good reminder to anybody.
I think that I've always said there are two things that I'm willing to advocate for on public radio. One is to donate to your public radio station. And the other is to vote.
There you go. All right. But let's move ahead, though, in talking about the Democratic candidates. And somewhere between John Chung and Antonio Villaraigosa. Somebody's in second place in the Democrats. And we talked last week, I spoke with journalist Dan Moraine about this infusion of $8.5 million into Villaraigosa's campaign.
And growing.
And so let's talk about big money like that and what the campaigns look like and how this money can move into the campaigns. By what mechanism?
Because they're not moving into the candidates' campaigns. They're moving into independent expenditures, outside groups.
Exactly.
So that is the mechanism. There's an outside group on behalf of Antonio Villaraigosa run by the charter schools, who are big backers of Villaraigosa and opponents of Newsom. And Newsom, of course, in turn backed by the teachers unions and much of the rest of organized labor, which have an aversion to Antonio Villaraigosa for things that he did while he was mayor of Los Angeles. So those are some of the dynamics there. If Villaraigosa is going to make it into the top two, and right now the latest polls show him stumbling a bit, and John Cox, the Republican businessman, who seen as, I mean, it's all within the margin of error, they're all in kind of a pack, but he's certainly bumped up and Villaraigosa's bumped down a little bit. So backers of Villaraigosa know they've got a lot of work to do and they need to start doing it right now. And so that's why late last week they launched their first TV ad. It's a positive image ad about Villaraigosa drawing complaints from Gavin Newsom's campaign that they took too much of the footage from campaign videos produced by Villaraigosa, that would be an illegal coordination. And so that may be something that's going to get bickered about between the two campaigns. But you've got that happening. And then, of course, all the other puzzle pieces are about to fall because you've got that first ad going up. That means Gavin Newsom is going up. I think I saw he's starting today. Again, a positive image ad. You always start positive before you turn to what normal people would call negative or attack ads and what political professionals would call contrast ads. You're going to see that. I think you're going to see John Chung go up pretty soon. He's got a fair amount of money on hand, too. And we will see what John Cox does. We'll see what some of the outside groups that back Newsom, like the unions, will see what they do. Are they going to try to knock Villaraigosa out by, for example, putting money on behalf of John Cox to try to push him up and make it be a Republican and a Democrat? So many different variables. It's to say multidimensional chess doesn't even begin to cover it.
And do you decide who you're going to vote for by the ads and the flyers, or do you pay attention to a debate and what's being said? And
are you asking me personally, or
that's a rhetorical question? It also sets up the fact that we are going to have a debate.
Yes.
And I mentioned that vote by mail ballots will come out Monday, May 7th. Tuesday, May 8th, is this debate in the Bay Area, moderated by NBC's Chuck Todd,
the moderator of Meet the Press. And then there will be some other reporters, some California reporters who are on the panel as well. So Gavin Newsom has not participated in debates recently in the last several weeks. And I think this is the next one, perhaps the only remaining one that he'll participate in. Frontrunners often take passes on debates. And all of the candidates did a whole bunch of events together in the fall and winter, which was noteworthy because, you know, a lot of times that hasn't happened in the past. Now we've had a bit of a pause, and as voters begin to pay attention, those vote-by-mail ballots might arrive in your mailbox that day of that debate, and it could be a big one, and we're going to broadcast it live on CAP Radio. It's that Tuesday, May 8th at 6:30 p.m.
That's interesting timing. I'm talking with Ben Adler, Capital Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief. Let's shift to the California Senate race. Tom Steyer, the billionaire, making an endorsement that could be a power play in that race.
Yeah, absolutely. He's backing Kevin DeLeon, the state senator, former state Senate president, who's mounting the progressive challenge to Dianne Feinstein. Feinstein has a lot of her own money. She's put it into the race. She's got, I think, $10 million on hand. And she's got backing of establishments both certainly in D.C. on both sides of the aisle, because I think Republicans would, at least establishment Republicans, would rather have Feinstein than DeLeon. And we should mention that Republicans don't have a prominent challenger in the Senate race. So the two candidates that we really are talking about are Dianne Feinstein and Kevin DeLeon. It's likely that both of them will advance together to the November runoff. You never know how the votes will shake out, but it seems likely. And so this would give Steyer support if he puts his money where his mouth is, and he has been known to do that. He could open up an outside group on behalf of Kevin DeLeon. He could put a bunch of money into ads for DeLeon or attacking Feinstein. And if so, it'll be interesting to see to what extent Feinstein's support among progressives slip, because de Leon certainly is more liberal than Feinstein. And it'll be interesting to see if Republicans who do not like Feinstein because of her positions on gun control, and some of whom were even supporting de Leon in early polls before realizing that he's the author of the sanctuary state bill, It'll be interesting to see if some Republicans get back on board with Feinstein once they realize de Leon's record, or if they simply leave it blank. And if they leave it blank, can Feinstein get enough votes from the center to outflank de Leon, but to out-center de Leon?
Getting votes will be decided quite a bit by the governor's race, as we'll talk many, many times before primary day in the general election, because if the two candidates for governor are both Democrats, and then the two candidates for the Senate race are both Democrats, what does that mean going down the list in the encouragement to someone who has another view, who has a Republican or an independent view, to come out and vote?
I will tell you that my understanding is that is very worrisome to House Majority Leader and would-be Speaker of the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy. And he would really like to see a Republican make the runoff in the governor's race. And that Republican currently appearing to be John Cox, who would have the strongest shot of that. One thing to watch is to what extent McCarthy or his allies get in play on that, because a lot of McCarthy's California congressional colleagues are seen as vulnerable this year, from Jeff Denham in the Modesto area down to several members in Orange County and San Diego and one in Santa Clarita, a couple more spread throughout the state. And to your point, Beth, what effect would having no Republican in the governor's race, no Republican in the Senate race have on turnout? Mm-hmm. I have heard an opposing argument made by Republicans who want to see a more moderate Democrat elected governor, someone like Antonio Villaraigosa. Their argument is, look, if there's a Republican in the governor's race, it's a foregone conclusion, in their words, not mine, a foregone conclusion that Gavin Newsom's going to win, and Republicans are not going to really, nobody's going to be communicating with them to get them to come out and vote. If it is Democrat and Democrat, Newsom versus Villaraigosa, then there will be some money invested in targeting Republican voters, saying, hey, if you don't want Gavin Newsom, if he's too liberal for you, then you might want to consider voting for this Democrat, Antonio Villaraigosa. So I've heard both arguments made.
All right. Two more quick points I want to make. One is that we should note that the California House Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon made a political statement in relation to an assembly member running for office. But that's kind of tangled politics, but it has to do with the Me Too and We Said Enough campaigns. That's worth noting.
So this is all about Assemblywoman Christina Garcia, who's been, by and large, the face of the Me Too movement in the California legislature. She's been very outspoken, and she came under accusations herself of groping and harassing men, younger men, staffers of hers and of other lawmakers. And she's on a leave of absence right now. She is still up for re-election this year. And you've got a powerful union that has clashed with her in the past, the Building Trades Union. And they've put they've opened up an outside group opposing her. And one of Garcia's complaints has been that someone hired a private investigator to look into her whatever dirt or skeletons in her closet she might have because she was so outspoken and because people don't like her. And it was reported that a Democratic consultant named Erin Lehane, E-R-I-N, so a woman, made an in-kind contribution for research of $23,000 to this opposition campaign. So that suggests there may be something there. Doesn't mean that the allegations against Garcia are untrue. We are awaiting word from the speaker, or sorry, from the Assembly Rules Committee conducting an investigation. But Rendon, who's waiting to decide what he thinks about Garcia's behavior.
This is a long wait to the punchline here. You know that.
Yes, I know. Rendon is waiting to see what happens with the investigation, but he is not happy about an outside group, a union, a Democratic group, opening up a pack against his members. He called it an attack on the speakership.
And that's the key, his stepping out statement, that all of what's going on is an attack on his speakership. I know we'll hear more about that story. Finally, the story that went on and on for the last couple weeks, California and President Trump's National Guard request, and then Governor Jerry Brown's response, and then the president's tweets. And so we start another week. Where are we in all of that?
Guard's been mobilized. They're okay. starting to work on getting out there. The Biden administration says it has written confirmation that the federal government, the Trump administration, will continue to fund the mission that is being expanded. This despite the president's tweet saying that, you know,
there will be no federal funding
for this charade, he said, of Governor Brown's. Keeping in mind that this mission that California is dispatching the troops for be combating human trafficking, gun and drug smuggling and cartels, not immigration enforcement. But as far as we know, everything's moving forward, whether the president says so or not. It seems like the Trump administration is still acting to make sure this happens. That said, I have not seen the written confirmation. The governor's office declined to give it to me, and I have not been able to obtain it from Washington, D.C. either. So we currently have the governor's word to go on this. We haven't seen a formal acknowledgement from D.C. about it either.
And the story goes on and on.
And on and on. It's a long and winding road.
Thank you, Ben.
You got it.
So glad you stepped in today. That is Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler. You can find more state government news at capradio.org. And Ken Rudin will be back on the air with us next week. You're listening to Insight on Capitol Public Radio.